Turn our Bibles this morning to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. And the person we're looking at this morning is Abraham. And Abraham is a very significant individual in the Bible. And he's a very significant individual in our world because 1.5 billion Muslims look to Abraham as a great prophet. And 2 billion Christians look to Abraham. And 15 million Jews look to Abraham. So Abraham is significant to the three major religions found in our world. But this is the Abraham of the Bible. This is the real Abraham. It kind of reminds me of that old program we used to watch when we were kids, To Tell the Truth. Will the real Abraham please stand up? John chapter 8, beginning at verse 37. Jesus speaking, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Here's a problem. We're teaching Good News Club, and we're going through the Good News Club. I do the Bible lesson, and Paula does the missionary time, and Connie leads in the review and some songs and other stuff, and things are going. And we got a little guy, he's about 6 years old, and he's a likable kid, but when you're 6 years old and you're a boy and you've had a donut, you know what I mean? Things can get out of hand. Something was taking place, and he wanted to come over and bond with me a little bit, and he kind of leaned up against me and put his head on my shoulder, and he said, Daddy, he was kidding, of course, but still, no, no. This relationship only goes so far, and Daddy's not part of it. No, no, no. There's only one that can call me Daddy, and he's out in Wyoming. The problem with the descendants, the physical descendants of Abraham, is the fact that they thought because they were physical descendants, they were also spiritual descendants. And they weren't spiritual descendants. That's a choice every individual has to make about what they're going to do with God. Abraham is our father in the sense that Abraham did what God told him to do. And Abraham went where God told him to go. And Abraham had a relationship with God. Everybody invests in something, and Abraham invested in God. Abraham wasn't perfect for sure. If I was handing out grades, I'd give Abraham a B probably, maybe a B minus. The only one that ever got an A plus was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect. But Abraham had some faults. But he was the plumb line for all believers in all the things that we go through in this life in relation to our relationship with God. Would you invest in eternity? When you think about something like that, somebody gave an illustration I thought was very appropriate. It was about a thermostat. If you have a home and you heat that home with oil and you have a regular thermostat and it stays on 70 year round, you're going to spend a lot of money that you don't have to spend. But if you invest in a thermostat that controls the heat in the home, when you're there, it's at 70, and when you're gone, it goes down to 60 and that kind of thing. And at night, it turns itself down to 60. They say that you can save $100 a year on oil. Now, $100 a year would come out to $2,000 in 20 years. Let's say you were a stingy individual and you said, hey, I can get a thermostat for $20. Why would I want to pay $100 or $200 for a smart thermostat? Well, you would do that because you're looking down through time and you're saying, I'm going to get a return on my investment. Abraham started out with God. Abraham invested in what God had to say. And because Abraham invested in what God has to say, we as Christians look back to Abraham as our spiritual father. We just read that passage. If you want to just take a look at it again, they're saying descendants. descendants. So what? So what if they're descendants? It doesn't matter really who you descended from physically. It matters who you descended from spiritually. Throwing a name around. I could say, just last week I was in Augusta and I ran to Janet Mills and I said, Janet, you're a Mills. My grandmother was a Mills. And I'm telling you the story. Of course, not a true story. But let's say it was a true story. What I would be doing is I'd be throwing a name around. Sometimes we do things like that. Like I know this person or I know that person. Well, that's what they were doing. They were throwing a name. Abraham is our father. No, Abraham's not your father. My father, your father, this is what is being kicked around in this conversation. Big word there. When Jesus was relating to them, he said, if you were descendants of Abraham, you would believe what I say. Because Abraham believed what God said. It's not rocket science. It's really as simple as that. We are the descendants of Abraham if we believe what God said. Now, we might not always act on what God says, but do we believe what God says? Truth is quite a thing. Who watches Fox News? Who watches CNN? Well, they're not the same people. The people that watch Fox News, for the most part, are different from the people that watch CNN. But the people that watch Fox News believe that's where they're going to get the truth, and CNN's not going to give them the truth. It's going to be fake news. But the people that watch CNN think that Fox News doesn't tell the truth, and that's why they watch CNN. You know, in our country, there's a big debate about what the truth is. Let's leave that to the world. Let's not bring that into the church. We're talking about the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Can you imagine handling this kind of truth? The kind of truth that can mean the difference between where an individual is going to spend eternity. That's quite a thing. They wanted to kill Jesus. What do we do with Jesus? Say, well, they wanted to kill Jesus. I don't want to kill Jesus. Okay. But what are you doing with Jesus? What about Jesus? Every day, we do something. Say, well, I don't do anything. Well, there you go. That's something. You're doing nothing. Here's what God has done for you. Here's what God has given to you, and you're doing nothing with the truth. Scary thought, isn't it? 2 John verse 9 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Remember, Jesus talked to them about works. We're not saved by works. But it's certainly a proof that we are saved when there are works. Abraham had works. Every believer should have works. James says, faith without works, dead. Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. It's amazing what people can profess, but having a father like the father that Abraham had, and the father that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of, it's not just something you try out. It's something that you embrace for a lifetime. The person, Abraham, he was a person. Not Isaac, not Jacob, not Noah, not Peter, not David, not John. Abraham. Abraham was to be the example of our Christian walk. I was teaching on Jacob for the Good News Club. So I've got these girls and boys there before me, and I'm teaching on the life of Jacob, and I'm saying to myself, how do I go from the life of Jacob to the need of salvation? How am I going to do this? It's not against CEF or anything, but sometimes I read the lesson that they want me to teach, and I say, I don't understand this. I don't know how they got from here to here. You're talking about Abraham, and then you're talking about Jesus, and it just seems like there's something missing. I was prayerfully considering that, and we started out, and I thought, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I was hoping Jacob would be there that day, not the real Jacob, but we do have a Jacob, but he does act like that Jacob, and I was hoping he'd be there because he'd be a great example, but we didn't have Jacob. But we had another kid there. And I said, you know something, guys? Jacob was a bad guy. He wasn't a good guy. I said, Jacob was fighting with his brother before he was even out of the womb. Isn't he a lot like, and I named the kid, the young man I pointed out had that deer caught in the headlights look? For he knew it was true. I said, he's a bad kid. Here's Jacob. He comes out fighting, steals his brother's birthright. Brother's going to kill him. And I'll tell you, when you push your brother to the point where he wants to kill you, you know, that's serious. Because of that, Jacob has to run. And he's going to be gone for 20 years. He's not going to see his mother ever again. And I said, he's a bad character. Just like everybody's looking at this kid and they're agreeing with me. But I said, the thing is this. As he's on the run, God appears to him. And God shows him the way to heaven. And God gives him promises. You know, the thing that really counts with bad people, like I named the kid, and Jacob, is the fact that God will speak to you. And God will give you promises. And you can have a relationship with God, even though you're a bad kid. You can talk to God. I wouldn't want to be a kid growing up in this world. If I were a kid growing up in this world, I'd want to know that I can talk to God. And if I were a kid growing up in this world, I'd want to know that God talks to me. That God has a way to talk to me. I'd want to know that. Because I don't know if you've noticed this or not. We live in a crazy world. There's a lot of uncertainty. You don't know what the future holds. So I said, there's Jacob. And I said, here's God involved in his life. Now I said, Jacob's going to have some problems, just like each and every one of us. Some things aren't going to work out. Like Jacob didn't know that he was going to run into Laban, and Laban was going to take him for a ride for 20 years. Didn't know that. Back to the person, Abraham. Here's the profession. Abraham is our father. So anyway, have you got your package from 23andMe yet? You get your package from 23andMe and know all your ancestors, and all your cousins, aunts and uncles, and your gene pool. Some people think that's important. I think it's interesting. I'm not going to have it done myself, but it's interesting. But what does it mean? It really doesn't mean too much, does it? 23andMe. Look back at that passage you still have in front of you. So what, being Jewish? So what, having Christian parents? So what, belonging to a denomination that at one time was something? So what? My nephew said, Uncle Gary, you know the Covenanters in Ireland? And I said, well, yeah, I know historically about them. Could you explain that to me? He said, well, they were believers. Now, what sprang off of that is different. But at that time, those people who believed that were persecuted by the established churches, those Covenanters were real believers. But that came and went. Like so many different denominations, where one time the truth was there and the truth was being taught and people embraced the truth, but then it became a tradition. Just like with these people here, we just read about them. There's a danger for our own kids that they think they are okay because they've grown up surrounded by believers. Their children are in danger also. It's not enough to have the Bible somewhere, to go to church where the Word of God is being preached, and memorize Scripture. Every last one of us needs to embrace the cross as his or her means of salvation, a salvation bought and paid for by a merciful God. It's my personal opinion that churched people could miss the truth as easily as those who have never heard the old, old story as recorded in God's Word. It should never be old hat. There's a danger in that mentality. That's the person. That's the profession. That's the product. Look at the word. Words are important. Works. Works. Remember Inspector 13? Didn't you watch commercials when you were younger? Hanes was a company that sold men's underwear. So Inspector 13 would take each pair of shorts and make sure that the elastic was going to hold. And you didn't get a pair of shorts unless Inspector 13 personally checked those shorts out. So you knew when you got those shorts, Inspector 13 passed them. That was the real thing. What's the real thing? You know what happened a couple weeks ago whenever our president gave the order to take out that Iranian Soleimani, and then they shot some missiles at some of the bases, and then they shot down that civilian aircraft, and 176 souls died. Initially, the Iranians denied having anything to do with that. Well, considering the fact that the plane was full of holes, it was pretty obvious who it was. But the thing is this, you can't take that back. You can't take what you did back. That wasn't a very bright thing to do. Oh, I'm sure they probably blame it on somebody, probably have him executed, beheaded or something. But the thing is this, by your works, they will know you. You're known by your works. They were talking about this Iranian general, Soleimani. He was responsible for 600 American lives. Well, that's works. As far as the Iranians were going, he was doing a great work. He was a great worker for their cause. That's works. For evil, evil has works and good has works. But the Bible makes it very clear that we're known by our works. We're not known by our profession. I've heard some people talk about Jesus and how they love Jesus, but in works, wasn't there. It was lip service, like here. Just lip service. They wanted to kill Jesus, and they claimed to be Abraham's descendants. Quite a thing. That's quite a product. There's a problem. The evidence is not there. Still a problem today. What did Abraham do? Abraham heard the voice of God. We have that record. God told Abraham to leave what he knew, what was known, and to go to what was unknown. And the Bible says, Abraham, here's a big word. If you don't know the meaning, I'll give it to you. Obeyed. That's quite a word. He obeyed. And he went. Along the way, some holdups. Took his father with him. God didn't ask him to bring his father with him. Had to wait along the way till his father died before he finished the journey. He brought Lot with him, his nephew. Shouldn't have brought Lot with him. Wasn't told to bring Lot with him. Lot was a believer, but Lot was a fleshly believer. He was a lot of trouble for himself, for his wife, for his children, for Abraham. But he brought him along. Wouldn't it be nice if we just did it all right? Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have any baggage? But we all do. Now, baggage will slow us down. Baggage will hinder us. And we have to carry it once we have it. But it's just one of those things. Considering the fact we're not going to get an A+, we still should shoot for it. Abraham got to the land. God had promised him. You know the story. And then a famine came in the land. And Abraham packed up and went to Egypt. Now, Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world, and you shouldn't go to Egypt unless God tells you to go to Egypt. God didn't tell Abraham to go to Egypt. He just went there. And down there in Egypt, he lied because Pharaoh wanted his wife. And down there in Egypt, he got rich. That's a strange thing. And down there in Egypt, he got Hagar. And you know, there wouldn't be much of a problem in the Middle East today if Abraham hadn't gone down into Egypt. The consequences of what we do can be felt generation after generation later. Does it make a difference what we do? Like listening to what God says and then doing what God says. Doesn't it make a difference? Is it just me or do you struggle with that too? We all do, don't we? We all do. If I were there, I'd say, Abraham, don't do that. Don't go there. Some people, they'll listen to good advice. Most people won't. I'd say it's going to lead you into all kinds of trouble. You know, you're going to become a coward, and you're not right now, but you will become a coward. And considering the fact that you're going to be the father of all that believe, that's not good. It's not a good mark. Abraham. Deuteronomy 31:8 says this, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. That was a promise given to the nation of Israel. And now you think about Abraham. Abraham left God. But did God leave Abraham? No. How come God didn't leave Abraham when Abraham left God? Because Abraham was the real deal. Abraham was a believer. Abraham had obeyed God. There are times when we disobey. Does God leave us? None of you would be here today. I wouldn't be here today. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, we can pick it up and we can start all over again because God's faithful. You know why there are Jews in the world today? After 3,500 years, there are Jews in the world today. You know why? There are 15 million. Do you know why they're still recognizable as uniquely Jewish? Because God's faithful. Because God is faithful. God's faithful. So many times, under so many leaders, they try to destroy the Israelites. But God's faithful. And you know what? Someday, there are going to be 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel who are going to go out, and they're going to be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And that's a miraculous thing. God's saving the best, as far as Israel is concerned, for the last. God's still working on me. Abraham went down to Egypt, but God was still working on Abraham. The children of Israel were driven out of the land, but God is still working on the children of Israel. That's quite a thing. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Who knows what God has in store for us? In spite of difficulties and failures. Who knows? You never know. Isaiah said this too to them, chapter 54 and verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Isaiah was talking about Israel, the generation in which he lived. They were facing insurmountable difficulties. They didn't know what the future held. Isaiah the prophet gave him a promise. You may leave God. God's not going to leave you. Isn't that a good promise? It's a good promise for us. My son always picks up stuff. So he picked this up and he passed it my way. It's an Irish joke. The Irishman was asked the question, how come the Irish always answer a question with another question? So they asked the Irishman that. He says, how come the Irishman always answer a question with another question? The Irishman said, what do you mean? Just check and see if you're still there. Scientists know our planet is precisely the right distance from the sun to benefit from its heat. Just exactly the right distance. A little closer and all the water would evaporate from our world. Just like on Venus. Only a bit farther and everything would freeze like it does on Mars. Earth is also just the right size to generate the right amount of gravity. Less would make everything weightlessly sterile like our moon, while more gravity would trap poisonous gases that suffocate life, like on Jupiter. The intricate physical, chemical, biological interactions that comprise our world bear the imprint of a sophisticated designer. We catch a glimpse of this complex craftsmanship when God speaks to Job about things beyond our understanding. God says this to Job, Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 6. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? God says. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or where were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? And Job would be like me. Huh? We have such a limited understanding about a very complex world in which we live. But there's one thing that we can understand, spiritually speaking, from experience. We can understand sin. We can understand that. Sin has plagued us all our lives. We know what sin does to us. We know what sin has done to us in the past. And then we see what it took for us to be redeemed. And we see that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. That's quite a thing. I'm glad we can understand that. All over the world, in all kinds of different cultures, in all kinds of different religions, people who have never heard that before will hear that for the first time, and you think they hear that for the first time, and they understand it, and they embrace it, and they believe it, and they live it. Isn't that quite a thing? I mean, there's so much we don't understand, but here's something we can understand. Here's something that God has made so simple that a child can understand it. Salvation. In a complex, difficult world, universe in which we live, salvation can be so easily understood. Abraham had a thing with altars. It's a place where you meet with God. It's a place where you desire to worship. I'm glad you came out this morning. I'm glad I came out this morning. No reflection on the ones who didn't come out this morning, but I'm glad you came out. Say, well, why do we come out? Why would you want to go to Mountain View Bible Church? There should be only one reason why you want to go to Mountain View Bible Church. Because you want to worship God. You want God to speak to you, and God does that through His Word. And then Abraham, every so often we see Abraham speaking with God, conversing with God, carrying on a conversation with God, interceding for other people because they can't, but he can because he has access to God. Abraham, our father. And then a lifetime of living in tents. I don't know what it was like living in tents in the desert. Suppose they had one of those vacuum cleaners with a battery. You suppose they had a Dyson? I mean, there's a lot of sand. Pitch the tent, take down the tent, pitch the tent, take down the tent, pitch the tent. Always in tents. During his lifetime here. Never had a building, never had a home. Tents. Because he was a pilgrim. He was a stranger. And we're strangers. And we're pilgrims. Listen, we're just passing through here. We might own a house. Might own a car. Might own a dog. But it's all staying here. It's not ours. We're not taking it with us. We're just pilgrims passing through. God said to Abraham, I will make your name great. You know what? Abraham has a great name. 3,500 years. How long do you think your name will last? 3,500 years. Abraham had a great name. Still has a great name. Even people that don't know the Lord, they know of Abraham. God said to Abraham, I'll make your name great. That happened. He said, I will make you a great nation. That happened. See, well, this old guy just had one kid, Isaac. Yeah. Isaac had two, Jacob, Esau. And Jacob had 12. Those 12 became 12 tribes of Israel. And then, big nation. Why? Because that's what God promised. God promised he'd make his name great. God promised him that he would become a great nation. He did become a great nation. Still is. God said, I will bless you. God blessed Abraham. In so many different ways, God blessed Abraham. God said, I will bless them that bless you. God did exactly that. God said, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You think of that. You go to Kuwait and you witness to a Bedouin and he becomes a Christian. Think of that. He becomes part of this family. Where we look to Abraham as a father of all who believe. Here's another one that believes, like Abraham. So what are you saying? I'm saying that family was blessed. One person gets saved in a family. There are some misunderstandings because they think you've changed religion. They think you're better than they are. But you can make a difference in that family. One person can make a difference. That family is going to be blessed because you are there. That's one of all the families of the earth who've been blessed. God promised that to Abraham. It's still going on today. It's like the right contact. You take the electric cord and plug it into an outlet because it's plugged into the source and it's plugged into the machine. It works. And it works because the wire's insulated and nothing's touching it, because if something touches it, you can have some real problems. But that's why it works. Abraham was connected to the source. Because Abraham was connected to the source, it worked. There were a few short circuits along the way, but you fix that up and keep on going because the current went from there to here and this thing works. Can work with us too. Just make sure there's no way it can be short-circuited. Because you always want to have that power, because the power is not in you, the power is coming from him. That was true with Abraham, true with us today. God didn't promise to make us a great nation. He didn't promise us some of the things that he promised Abraham, but God has given us promises. He promised us he'd never leave us or forsake us. I'm telling you, that's a good promise. You can get a lot of mileage out of that promise, that he'll be with us always. That's a good promise. Abraham was called by God. Abraham went, even though he didn't know where he was going. He was looking for a city with foundations, whose builder and maker was God, that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And that's what he was looking for. We should never get our eyes off of that. You're looking for what? How many times have we looked for something that never materialized? Home. Home. Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a promise. Abraham. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for this tremendous passage of Scripture that we read, this person that we examined, found to be true and real and necessary for us in our life to understand who we are. We understand more who we are by looking at Him. We thank You that You gave Him to us. And we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, who made it abundantly clear, not only to these Pharisees, but also to us, whom You know, whom You love, and who You are. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.